This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you. From daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
What is Dax, are you?
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker on all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge, trucks up 3.9%.
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Dan Wiederer.
You've got a guy with credentials, you got a guy with some qualifications, and now there's just, when done at its best, provides a level of steadiness and stability that helps create and stimulate success.
On-air contributor for 670 The Score.
Listen, we're not going to accept the status quo. We are going to push for more. We are going to strive for more.
Co-host of the Take the North podcast.
We're going to take the North and never give it back.
Dan Wiederer with Mully and Haw on 670 The Score.
Bear down. Let's go.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score. Always fun to talk to Dan Wiederer, and he joins us now from Indy on the Score Hotline, brought to you by Aturo, your all-weather tire, aturo.com. Dan, good morning. How you doing?
I'm hanging in. How are you guys?
Doing well.
We are enjoying ourselves. We're having fun watching from a distance, and you know, it would have been a great story in retrospect to just follow Ben Johnson, because
right.
He did every national website. Everything you can think of.
Every platform.
He was everywhere. But what was extraordinary, as we talked this morning, was that he didn't have, like, rehearsed answers. In other
right.
words, this isn't a professionally trained actor who can go into a soliloquy whenever requested. He was different in his answers. Some little stories thrown in one place or some other kind of unexpected twist somewhere else. He is so good at just speaking extemporaneously and just answering a question, not the same way all the time. He's not this kind of man in rehearsal that you often see in the league.
Yeah, Mully, there's definitely an authenticity there that is going to be fun to get to know a little bit better as we get further along in the process of getting to know Ben Johnson. It was really interesting yesterday to watch both he and Ryan Poles ping pong around between all the extra media they did following their group sessions with the beat guys. And so part of my homework today is to find every single one of those and comb through those and find out where the nuggets are and the things that we want to continue developing on are. But there's a lot to learn about Ben Johnson in these next 6 months, and we're going to get an opportunity little by little to kind of fill our cup from that faucet.
From a personnel standpoint, from a roster building standpoint, what was the most significant thing that you heard yesterday from either guy?
Look, I think they're very aware of what they need up front on both sides of the ball. And I think that there is going to be aggression in these next, you know, couple weeks with free agency. And then obviously in the draft as well, to make sure that you don't take your eye off the ball with adding pieces up front on both sides of the ball that will help you get better. I think that there is a enthusiasm right now between Ryan and Ben, that they're on the same page, that their vision is pretty clear, and that will give them momentum as they go into these next phases. You guys know what's coming in 2 weeks when that negotiating window opens for free agency. And if they can go make a big splash with a guy like Trey Smith, keep an eye on Ryan Poles' face. Every time he's asked about Trey Smith, there's like a small grin, even though he won't answer the question. He gets a small grin that gives you a little bit of a tell that he feels like they've got a legitimate chance at making that happen. So we'll find out about that in a couple of weeks. And if you're able to get out of the gates fast like that, I think everybody in Chicago will feel a little bit better about how the offseason starts.
Yeah. Dan, we've been talking about this idea. Everybody knows that they need help on the offensive line, but you got to ask yourself just how much you can get in one offseason. In other words, can they replace? I mean, you can give guys competition, but can you replace more?
You can't.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was funny because Ben was asked that yesterday, and he said it's been done before, right? And then he specifically cited last year's Panthers as an example of a team that went out and made two big investments in their guard positions. It was at the time sort of looked at like, wow, the Panthers are going all in on guards, right? Like Robert Hunt, I think, got a $100 million contract. And then Damian Lewis was part of that mix as well. And Ben Johnson cited that as a group that, you know, by the middle of last season had provided stability to the offensive line that then helped Bryce Young sort of do what everyone is hoping Caleb Williams will do, which is just kind of rebound in year two. And so I think they feel like they've got the capital to go out and make significant upgrades to the offensive line. And then they feel like they can do so in both phases, both free agency and the draft, to get it done.
When you heard Ryan Poles talk about his role in overseeing all this, did you feel like that was something different from previous combines that you've heard from him? Was he different in terms of tone or approach? Because a lot of attention, most of the attention, understandably, on Ben Johnson, but
yeah,
this second version, kind of the reprieve era for Ryan Poles, is he any different now?
And David, I think the biggest difference yesterday was that the Bears showed up here in Indy as kind of a side attraction. They're not the center stage storyline here like they've been the last 2 years when they came here with the number one pick and quarterback decisions to make. That was like high profile stuff that, you know, sort of reverberated through the whole week of Combine Week. And here now it's kind of like, okay, Ben is the show. He's the new story. And then you've got to figure out a way to kind of set direction as a leadership group that's Ben and Ryan together. And so I didn't sense anything notably different. I did find it really interesting that it was like 11 minutes into our conversation with Ryan before we got to the quarterback. And I think, you know, like everybody has to be reminded that that is still the most important part of the 2025 puzzle, is what they can do to take Caleb to new heights. And so like that's going to be part of this process, not only in building the roster, but then in uniting with Caleb to tell him what he needs to get done on his side of things.
You know, one of the things he said, I think it was on the NFL radio, he said that when he put the coaching staff together, he made sure to get guys that had experiences different than his own. In other words,
right,
he wanted, I think he said, he wanted a little bit of what was going on in Kansas City, of mm-hmm. what was going on with Sean Payton. It was really an interesting answer, because I think it spoke a lot about his own confidence in what he's doing and his ability to try to learn even when things are succeeding
right
for him. I love that answer, and I love the way he talked about those different coaches. I'm very curious to see how it works.
No, I'm with you, Molly, because there's a really, really alluring combination of, as you described it, confidence and curiosity in Ben Johnson, you know. And so like he knows that he's really good at what he does, but he also knows he can get better. And by tapping into some of these various offensive trees, he can get some more insight to make his beautiful mind sort of tick a little bit faster. And you mentioned it, like Eric Bieniemy brings you some of that shotgun running game expertise that he can lend to the equation. Declan Doyle spent 5 of his 6 years under Sean Payton. You've got Press Taylor, who's done some things with Chip Kelly in his background. And so you put this meeting of the minds together in an offensive meeting room, and I think Ryan Poles described it yesterday as a group that's really juiced up about what they can accomplish. And so I think it's kind of fun to watch that puzzle be put together with Ben sort of understanding that, hey, look, like we can be really creative and really versatile and really create kind of a hybrid offense here that can play to the strengths of our players.
Well, he's trying to get better himself. He's curious. You're right. It's a mix of curiosity and confidence. He's meeting every morning. He called it the Breakfast Club with yeah. Harry Fried on his staff to kind of go through game situations that I don't know if you're a first-time head coach. He's got to be confident to acknowledge as much knowledge as you're seeking, as much things that you're trying to surround yourself with. If you don't have that inner confidence, you're not doing these things. You're not acknowledging them publicly.
Quiz me.
Yeah, right.
Right. And you've got to have energy reserves to do all these things as well, right? Like there's a lot on the plate of a head coach, and it's even heavier for a first-time head coach who's never done it before. And so it'll be fascinating. You know, there's a long way to go before Ben Johnson has to coach a meaningful game, but there's a lot of heavy lifting between now and then. And I think, you know, when I talk to people around the league, I think that there's obviously genuine respect for how good he is as a chess player on offense and the things he can do to X and O his way into advantageous situations. And now the piece of the puzzle for head coaches is how good are you with people? How good are you at managing people? How good are you at putting out fires? How good are you at kind of pivoting every day when pivots are called for? And so those are all things that will be tested with Ben in the months to come. They still haven't added a single player since he was hired. You know, there's a lot of things that go into this reboot, and we're just going to have to kind of be patient and watch him navigate each phase of this as we roll up toward week one.
He also talked about he and Dennis Allen having the same vision of what pass rush means, of what defense is, which is how it impacts the quarterback, and whether that is the pass rush or throwing receivers off routes. I thought that was a really interesting approach to it, because obviously the Bears need help in their pass rush, but, you know, and I don't know, is Tyreek Stevenson going to be good enough? Is he going to be coached up enough? They got a pretty good defensive backs coach in there, but they had a real good one there. I just wonder about what that meant when he talked about the corners and the defensive linemen kind of working together.
Yeah, well, if you start with the defensive line, I think that there has been some clues dropped here that, as you know, it obviously they want to add teeth to the pass rush, but that doesn't necessarily mean a complimentary edge rusher to Montez Sweat as much as they want to add somebody on the interior that can be one of those guys who consistently punctures the pocket. And so just kind of file that away as the Bears go into these phases of rebuilding the roster and understand that maybe that interior guy is going to be the big-time difference maker that then unlocks another level for Montez Sweat. And then you guys know forever, coaches talk all the time about rushing coverage, working together and figuring that out. A couple people that I've talked to this week that have history with Dennis Allen say that, like, he's really good at being pretty simple with his defense so guys can play freely, but then having the timing for knowing when to throw something in, a little wrinkle, a little edge that gives the defense an advantage. And so that's something, obviously, when they get on the grass in May, that they'll start to work through. But I think there's a lot of confidence internally at House Hall that DA brings in a great background that will give him instant credibility with the guys in his room.
We're talking with Dan Weider, who, of course, does the Take the North podcast with Mark Grody, breaking down all the storylines from this week's NFL Combine. You can follow Take the North on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. You can download the Odyssey app or search 670 The Score and tap follow to receive alerts on all of The Score's coverage from the Bears offseason. All right, Dan, so you mentioned the need for help in the trenches on the defensive line. I'll ask you, just like we asked Biggsy during Biggs time, what about Jonathan Allen? He will be shopped. The Commanders have 1 year left and $15 million to pay him on his deal. He's 30 years old, but he's also a guy that is coming off an injury. If he can stay healthy, can make a difference. Do you think the Bears get involved? Should they at least inquire?
Yeah, I mean, you always inquire. Like, you always inquire. You try to figure out what that looks like and what it would take to get it done. I would certainly have the difficult time giving up any sort of draft capital for a one-year rental. And so if you were to make a move like that, it would be with an eye on trying to, get an extension done. And then you got to figure out where that price tag is and how that affects other parts of your roster. I will say that the consensus around the league right now is that this draft is loaded up front defensively. Right. And so that wouldn't be a move that I would be racing to do before the draft ended. You know, like, I would see what I could get done in free agency. I would see what I could get done in the draft. And then if you still feel like you're, limited on the defensive front, well, then maybe you consider it a little bit more seriously. But I think that there's several phases for the Bears to navigate first before that jumps to the top of their list.
It's interesting to me because I think when we think about the Bears and how they have to kind of cast a line and try to somehow reach out and create a pass rusher rather than just draft one. They've really struggled to be able to do that. That doesn't preclude, in fact, because of the depth at the defensive tackle position, I think that if they're sitting there at 10 and the tackles are gone, the offensive guys, They may need the pass rusher at that point because you got to strike quickly because the depth at that position isn't in there. In other words, you know, I think when you look at a draft, the depth of a position sometimes tells you go get the one you can't get.
Yeah, no, you're right. And so, like, look, like, all the draft experts are really, really, really ecstatic about the depth of this draft. And with the Bears having four picks in the top 75, they can make a pretty good impact by the time day two is over in the draft. And so now you just kind of play your scenarios out on your draft board on who's going to be available for you at 10. And then remember, you got 2 second-round picks and an early third. So, you know, you don't have to panic if you don't get exactly what you want on night one of the draft. You've got a lot of needs to fill. You can be right taking a lot of different positions there. I'm sure at some point in this pre-draft process, we'll have a day where we talk about Ashton Jeanty as a possible draft pick for the Bears at number 10. And that'll be a fun day to go through. And you'll just navigate all these cycles of this to try to figure out what makes sense. But, you know, Ryan described it yesterday as a giant puzzle. And right now, all the pieces are just kind of emptied out on the table and they've got to figure out how to put them together.
So not a high priority, but I do think the Bears should go into free agency with an eye on the safety market. There are some veteran safeties who might be affordable at a position that the Bears don't have a ton of certainty.
Didn't they both identify that as the toughest position to draft?
They both did during the maybe one of the interview sessions that they did. They both identified safety as a difficult position to evaluate. Dan, I wonder how much will they have an eye on that role, because – you can't count on Jaquan Brisker, and you maybe don't know at this stage what you have in Kevin Byard.
Right. Well, and Elijah Hicks, who has shown, you know, some reliability in the flashes he's been in there. But, you know, you're trying to go from a team that wants to be more than just reliable and functional into one that can compete. So, I would imagine that they would eye up that market pretty seriously and try to figure out what makes sense for them. That you're going to need depth in your defensive backfield, and you're going to have to figure out how to do all that. I think, you know, the other kind of front burner issue from a contract standpoint is, do you want to get something done with Kyler Gordon soon? You know, I think that's a priority for the Bears, but what's the timeline of that? Do you want to, like, get that done before free agency starts and the market resets itself, or do you kind of wait and get done with all your other shopping and then say, okay, here's what we've got remaining to kind of invest in that regard? And so look, like, you're going to need to improve a last place football team. That's the bottom line, you know, here. And right. So that those efforts start quickly, and they're going to have to be aggressive here really quickly.
What's the big story at the combine? Has one emerged? I mean, you know, we know about the idea that you got a player that is he a receiver? Is he a corner? Where is he more valuable? We know Abdul Carter is not able to work out. Maybe the first defensive player to go off the board's got a shoulder issue. What are people buzzing about?
Yeah, I mean, I think at the top of the draft, it's, you know, it's Travis Hunter. Then, you know, obviously you're always going to have the quarterback debate on is it Cam Ward? Is it Shedeur Sanders? Who's stronger for which environments? What do you want to gamble on? Upside or floor?
They're all right? Like, gamble.
Like, exactly. And Chicago knows that firsthand. Obviously, Abdul Carter's a big name that's going to go make a big splash somewhere. I think the sense with the draft this year is that it's not full of that, like, high-end special talent at the top, but that you're going to be able to get long-term starter quality guys for a while, you know, from round one deep into round two and maybe into round three a little bit if you play your cards right. And so, look, like, that, you know, the draft will be here soon enough. And here's a little small story for you, Mully, is that at the top of the hour, the NFLPA will have a little meeting. They always issue those report cards before free agency starts on each team and how players rate their particular facilities and the amenities and everything that goes along with being a player for that organization. So we'll see how the Bears grade out this year and what kind of improvements they've made.
That's always interesting. So Dan, Brad alluded to this, and I've thought about it as well. Do you think there's any pressure, or do you think the Bears feel compelled to make a big splash this offseason with the idea in the back of their minds, perhaps, that they need to show that they're serious about winning, consistent with the commitment to Ben Johnson? And you know what? That stadium project, if we're going to convince people it's worth building a new stadium and getting the public money involved, we need to put a product out there that's worth watching.
I think their biggest splash was made with the hiring of Ben Johnson, to be quite honest with you. And I think their big splash and the thing that they're going to sell now is Ben Johnson and Caleb United, you know, and you've got a guy with a ton of talent at the quarterback position about to play for a guy whose offense scored like 70 touchdowns last season. And so that's the billboard for stadium efforts. The rest of this is about becoming a highly competitive football team that can do what they were supposed to do last year, which is climb the staircase in the NFL and become a team that is playing meaningful games in December, that's in playoff contention, that can potentially steal a wild card berth and get 9 or 10 wins. And it's like the target for 2025, sadly, is what it was in 2024. You're just trying to do what you couldn't do last year. And so all efforts will be made to push the team in a direction where they can win. They can win. It's time for this to be a football team that can win in 2025. And so that's where I think the aggression will come from.
I thought it was pretty funny that he told the story, I forget where he was, about Caleb buzzing his phone during the Super Bowl, that he kept getting messages from him, and he's there with his kids trying to watch the Super Bowl with the family, and next thing you know, they're going over every play.
This is going to be fun to watch. It's going to be interesting to see how they dial in on what needs to be dialed in on, because Ben Johnson in multiple forums over the last month has stressed how sort of basic the spring program at Hallis Hall is going to be. It's going to be a focus on fundamentals, and it's going to be really for Caleb's purposes, it's going to be, you know, how do you handle the huddle? You know, how do you handle your cadence? How do you get knowledge of what motions and shifts and the nuances of those do to give an offense an advantage? And so it's going to be this, you know, really, really grindy stuff that Caleb's going to have to invest in to then unlock this world where then they can do the fun stuff where Ben Johnson's turning them loose on creative plays and right, using his off-schedule gifts to be who we think he can be.
They missed some steps last year. I don't know if you heard.
They skipped them, yeah. Dan.
It's startling to me, first, that they skipped it, second, that they so readily confess it, and third, that you know, there's really no repercussions for what happened in 2000.
How about four, Dan? The guy who responsible most for skipping those steps just got hired and complimented yesterday in Jacksonville.
By the way, I know this is kind of a thing on the social medias right now, but how about James Gladstone, right? Like that dude, when I saw that the Jaguars put out a picture of him when they were interviewing him, I thought I had a triple check to make sure it wasn't a joke, because it looked like
senior
one of the guys
prom
that runs around the combine here that goes and asks everybody fantasy football questions. And that's the GM of the Jaguars.
He looked like he was trying to get the courage up to ask a girl to prom.
It's crazy, but obviously bright kid, and that'll be fascinating to watch from afar as well.
Great stuff.
Great stuff, Dan. Thank you.
All right, guys. Talk soon.
That is Dan Wiederer. That is so true. Did you see that photo? I mean,
I did.
I would be bummed if I were Ian Cunningham. Like, really?
You got to be really disappointed. You wonder how he fits in coming back.
Yeah.
All right. Right now, Mully, our listeners can be the sixth caller to the Scores Contest line, 312-540-0670. They can win a pair of tickets to be a part of our studio audience.
This is it.
Cubs Dodgers. Yep. They're going to be in Tokyo starting at 5 a.m. on March 18th. We're going to be here. But they're going to have a party at the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage, Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all. Come be part of our special broadcast at the conclusion of the Cubs game and Cubs post game. We are going to be the post game show. 312-540-0670.
Mully and Haw on the Score.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
And now, two pigeons who can't believe how good humans have it with DirecTV.
These humans are hopping from streaming apps to live sports without batting a wing.
All from the DirecTV home screen.
With just one click, you could be watching a baseball game, a movie on Netflix,
or a critically acclaimed documentary.
You watch documentaries?
I love the ones that leave you with a question.
What?
Exactly.
DirecTV, a better way to watch whatever you want to watch. Visit DirecTV.com.
Internet-connected Gemini device, separate Netflix membership and additional paid subscriptions required for third-party apps.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's, so thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code FLEX at checkout. That's harrys.com, code FLEX. Enjoy.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you're thinking about GLP-1s for weight loss, listen up. You must make sure you're maintaining your muscle mass while you're losing weight. Otherwise, you can slow your metabolism and regain the weight. Almacid, a natural superfood protein shake, has been scientifically proven to preserve muscle mass. It optimizes and supercharges your metabolism so you can lose weight easily. Use Almacid with GLP-1s or as a natural alternative. Find out more and see the university studies at almacid.com. That's almased.com.
Turns back, resets, switches sides with Bedard. Jones to the circle, scores! Seth Jones! Oh, you can see the opening. Put it in. 1-0 Hawks.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, the score. How about that? You get a nice lead, or you tie the game. I forget how the thing went. You end up losing the game against a terrible Utah team. And started way too late for me.
Seth Jones scored the goal. The Hawks blew the lead, and then they lost the game in the third period, 2-1 to Utah, the Utah Hockey Club. And then, more interesting, the reason we're playing this is because Seth Jones has been in the news lately because he wants traded. He is in the third year of an 8-year contract. He's got a $9.5 million cap hit. He's got a no-movement clause. He's got some of the power, not all of it. But post-game, he went off. He ripped his teammates and essentially sounded like, well, listen to it.
What needs a change for this ever to, I guess, the riot itself?
I don't know. You know, I think we're the exact same team right now as we were at game one. And I think it's pretty evident out there. We haven't made any strides to be a better, more simple hockey team, you know, and it shows. You know, we don't get a lot of wins because of that.
This is kind of an opportunity to gauge that since you started here and now 60 games and almost you're back here again.
Well, this has been almost 4 years of, you know, bottom of the league, so it's not just this year for me, at least.
Isn't it also hard, you know, 5 penalties, you know, to stay on the ice?
It doesn't help. But like I said, it puts a ton of pressure on Sody. It just kills momentum. You know, we if you have one or two good shifts in a row and then you take a penalty, you know, we had 3 in the first, 2 in the second. I don't know if we had one in the third. 10 minutes is a long time on the kill. You don't get the flow of the guys going offensively. Now guys have to sit, and then it's tough to get anything going. So definitely staying out of the box is key, but I'll say it again. I mean, Sody was unbelievable. We have zero chance of winning if he doesn't stand on his head.
Seth Jones, yeah, that's pretty indicting of
having gotten
the coach, the operation, everything.
Here's the thing. Like, he's been careful not to demand a trade. He's talked about, we've discussed it. He's tried to be, I guess, a good soldier about wanting out. He's trying not to be overt about it and upset people, but that was sort of, that was it. After that loss, now that's the way a guy talks when he's goading you into trading.
He's trying to talk his way out of town.
That's right.
Yeah. And he felt comfortable there. Ben Pope from the Sun-Times, Phil Thompson from the Tribune.
Yeah.
And obviously Seth Jones has been around a while now. And as he said, 4 years of bottom of the league. And I get his frustration. Nobody's minimizing that. And I also think that I understand why at this stage, 30 years old, he'd want to play for a winner. He's got a pretty good contract, though. And I think what it also represents is, as we talk about the Blackhawks and all the youth, I think at one point this season, 9 of the 18 skaters were 23 or younger. That's the kind of leadership that they have in that dressing room.
Which
disgruntled veterans. Or a guy who's got an A on his chest and really isn't leading. So that's the problem.
Throwing people under the bus. I got to tell you, I hear that, and my reaction, again, I'm not a hockey executive. My reaction is, I wouldn't trade you for it. You got a snowball's chance in hell of getting out of here. Let's go watch it here. Move them to the final line. Give them all the bad.
Keep them out of spite.
Yeah. That's how I feel when I hear that.
I understand that reaction. Because it kind of does tick you off a little bit.
Well,
if you're trying and you're trying and you're trying, they're just too young. This season did not go the way that anyone expected because they thought they were going to take a step forward. As it is, that's not the case.
He hasn't gotten better since the year began, has he?
No.
How has he improved since he's been here? I get it. It's awful to be a part of a loser and you just want to, then maybe you shouldn't have signed the contract. If they made you promises that you were what you had, like, you know, dollar signs in your eyes and you didn't listen to what was going on around you, don't start complaining now that you've got enough money that you want out of town.
So we came back from the break talking about how, well, nice it would be to be, back in Columbus playing for the Blue Jackets because that's where he had some success. And now he's in the middle of the week ripping his teammates after losing 2-1 in Utah. It's a bad look. That's all.
Yeah.
It's a bad look.
And hey, guys do it all the time.
Yeah.
You don't have to be Jimmy Butler to know you can talk yourself out of town. There are plenty of actions you can do. There's way I just hate the idea that you came here, you spent time here, and now you've been well paid for the time, and now you're going to leave because you're gonna talk your way out.
I got to tell you, I was there as a fan on Sunday night.
Yeah,
I booed him.
Did you boo him?
I booed him. Yeah,
the team?
No, I booed him.
You booed him.
I booed him when he said something, Seth Jones. I just did. I just because I wanted to feel better about what we're talking about here. I don't like the way he's handled this, and I have respect for him as a player. But I did. You have a right to boo. Just it was.
Yeah, I've never booed a person because I'm more of a humanist, and I don't like booing anyone. I mean, I remember
it was kind of like
when Adam Dunn was here. I stood up at one point and screamed, "Get it over with!"
It was in jest
when he was going to.
I remember saying that. Yes,
have his strike.
That was in jest too. Yes,
I heard someone yelling, and I realized, oh, it was me. Get it over with. That's not a boo.
I just went boo, just like that.
Oh, so you didn't really?
No, it wasn't like a visceral. Get out of town now.
If I had said that I booed people, would you have changed that reaction when I called myself a humanist?
No, you are a humanist.
Thank you, buddy.
You're definitely a humanist.
Yeah. Oh, I empathize with everyone. It's very difficult. I'm an empath.
You're an empath.
That's what I was trying to say.
Yeah, empath.
Thank you.
So college basketball last night, Illinois, they got a much-needed victory over Iowa, put them back in the winning column. That's good for Illini. Now, they're 18-10. And I know, and I'm broken up to that. Okay. Northwestern beat Minnesota 75-63, and your Ramblers play tonight. They got to keep things going.
There's going to be like a dozen teams from the Big Ten in the tournament. Is that what they're
saying? There's going to be 14 from the SEC.
And that, well, because the SEC and the Big Ten had that meeting.
They had that
big
meeting.
So while they were talking football, by the way, let's get about 30 of us in the NCAA. Yes.
Those conferences are too big. If you're getting 14 teams in, that's the best conference in NCAA history, literally, because
Is Porter getting in with Oklahoma? How are they doing? You're the one who follows all the standings.
Well, Oklahoma, they kind of were a bubble team.
Yeah.
And I think you want Porter to get in the tournament because I think he needs to get in the tournament.
I think you're right.
Oklahoma basketball, the Sooners this season, let's find out where they are because
sooner or later.
They are playing tonight against they got a game against Kentucky.
Yeah, they got Kentucky.
They play Kentucky tonight?
That's right.
That's not good. Oklahoma is 17-10. They're four and ten in the conference.
Oh, that's not good.
That's not good. That's not going to get them in.
It's a good conference. Everyone in. Everyone
tough.
Gets a bid.
That's tough.
You get a bid. I get a bid.
Yeah, so I don't know. They have to finish strong.
The Ramblers, the one thing about them is I don't think they lose much at home. It's a good atmosphere, a good place to go to see a game. The students come out. It's fun. There's a guy with a Pope hat on. You got to love that. Good stuff.
Especially this week.
Yes. Well, God bless the Pope.
The Ramblers are going to win 20 games again, and that's quietly Drew Valentine getting the job done.
Yeah. Yep.
More quietly than before because everything they used to do used to be pretty loud because they, you know, went to the Final Four in 18 and, you know the rest. But I do think that
I believe you were there.
I was there. 20 victories is nothing to sneeze at still in college basketball.
I have a photo of us there.
We have a good photo. That was taken for posterity. That was good.
Go Ramblers.
And the combine today, I knew you would be interested in this. The workouts begin for players and prospects, punters and kickers.
Oh, man, let's go.
Punters and kickers.
I believe the Bears are desperately in search of a kicker since David
removed
they're not. Their old kicker.
I'd never boo him.
Didn't you throw him out? Didn't you cut him?
No,
from
I did
the
not.
Roster?
I did not cut him. I don't have anything against Cairo
Santos.
Santos.
It's just Brazil as a country that you don't like.
At what point I expressed the desire to have a little stronger leg. And I think that's fair.
You were mad because he couldn't kick a 60-yard field goal or something insane.
I was mad because they didn't try a 53-yard field goal. That's nothing. When everybody else around the league is trying 50-plus-yard field goals, and you got a kicker that basically you can't trust past 45. Yeah, I think that I understand. He ended the season on a strong note. He ended the season beating the Packers at the buzzer. But I still think, yeah, I'd keep my eyes open.
He is so little. He has no trajectory on the ball, so you got to be within 30 yards.
You got to get closer than most kickers, but not punters.
You went off on him one day.
I did one day. One day I had a weak moment.
I know. It's okay.
It's kind of a weak moment.
It was a funny thing.
I have those moments every now and then.
You just don't like people who kick balls.
That's not true. That makes me sound like I'm a soccer hater. I respect soccer. I do.
You don't have to.
Sox and the Padres today. Moving. And the Cubs and the Giants.
Sox got the young lefties going. That's going to be fun. And then who the Cubs play? The Giants.
At the Giants.
That's good.
Keeping their unbeaten streak alive.
Yes.
They're 6-0. And yesterday, Pete Crow Armstrong did have an exciting trip around the bases. And when he plays, if he plays today, that's worth watching.
I got to tell you, I mean, that's the guy that is the chaos creator. If you
dirt get, disturber.
When you have, oh boy.
He's the dirt disturber.
Yeah. I
that's
still,
Bruce's term.
I still worry
he's a
about,
dirt disturber.
I worry about what that means. Is he saying
it's
he's
pretty
a,
self-explanatory.
No, I think he's saying he's a dirt stirrer.
I think he's saying he steals bases. Okay. Kicks up the dirt.
I think.
In a chaos, cloud of dust.
Chaos creator is a little more polite than calling him a stirrer of anything.
Chaos creator is a little bit wordy, a little bulky. Dirt disturber seems a little bit easier.
Did you notice that Dan Wiederer used the term pocket penetration? What was the term from?
Puncture the pocket?
Puncture.
Puncture the pocket?
Puncture the pocket. That was the
I
term.
Think he did. That's going to be something to keep
like
an eye
that.
On.
I like
ear
that
for.
Term. We kept an eye on it. We heard it. The day before, and we both kind of commented upon it.
Yeah, you like that. You like to hear the general manager and the head coach all I was a defensive coordinator, excuse me, Dennis Allen.
Yes, and, that's his term, right?
Yeah, and Ben Johnson.
And if Dennis Allen has that sort of usage, he's good. And if I use it, it's too much.
I didn't say it was too much.
Chaos creator, you did not it's like.
It's a little much. I don't know. Same
what
idea.
Creator of chaos. Is that better if I turn it around?
Agent of chaos.
Agent of chaos?
Yeah, agent of chaos. That's what I've heard reference to before.
Pete Crow agent.
No, it's Pete Crow amazing.
I'm sorry.
But I have to give credit. I did not make that up.
Earlier.
That was Alex Cohen on the Marquee Sports Network. Alex Cohen filling in for Boog, I believe, yesterday, as he will continue to do this season. So if that catches on, it is Alex Cohen.
Did you see PC. That?
Amazing.
Speaking of guys.
I don't need another.
Well, we need the video of that, though, because you were like so happy when you said it. Kurt Bloom has stepped down as the voice of the Birmingham Barons. Did you see that? He did that yesterday. So he's been a friend of the program. We should mention that. And
I did not see that.
Send him the best of luck. Yes.
Yes.
He's still doing UAB, and he's still doing whatever football he was doing. But, yeah, I saw that on
you caught me unaware.
Machine.
I'm very surprised, disappointed. Friend of the program.
Friend of the program. We should also offer condolences to the family of our favorite University of Chicago economist.
Oh, that's a great thing. Thank you for reminding me. Alan Sanderson passed away.
Yes.
It's a great tribute and obituary in today's ChicagoTribune.com. Alan Sanderson at the University of Chicago, was the guy whose voice of reason you always saw, no matter how excited you might be about a Super Bowl coming to Chicago, the idea of economic development in Wintrust Arena, whether the Bears are going to build a stadium here, there, or anywhere, the White Sox on the move.
Right.
Alan Sanderson was the guy who was, I referred to him as kind of a kind contrarian.
Yes.
It's somebody who was definitely...
He just never bought into sort of some of the things they would try to sell to us. And he was a great resource to go to for a sports program. He would demean himself and come and talk to the plebeians. And we really appreciated his
contribution. But over the years, and we've been here a long time now, the 20 years, 21 years I've been here, I relied on him a lot for stories like everybody did. And he didn't always agree with them. He didn't always agree with me or us. But I do think that he was always somebody you respected because of just how sensible he communicated.
He always agreed with me.
That's not what he told me. He was great. It's a big loss for the University of Chicago. Rest in peace and condolences to his family.
All right. It is a Wednesday. I'm asking a question. Yes, indeed. It is a Layla Wednesday. We get a chance to talk to Layla and Marshall Harris and that other guy next, Mully and Haw on the Score.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.